Folks, it's such an honor to be here with you this morning. As always, it's good to be back. Good to be back with friends. Pastor Jim and Pam are more like family now than anything else. They feed us well. We get to stay at their place. And they're just a great blessing to us personally and a great blessing to our ministry. So it's good to be here. How many of you know Jesus is alive?
Amen.
Amen. And he's here today. Everybody say he's here.
He's here.
Say he's here to help me. I want to talk with you. We've had an exciting year this year, just a tremendous year, and I give God all the glory. We went to Russia, we went to Honduras, and saw great miracles in Russia and Honduras, saw people saved. Then we've had our fullest schedule this year of any year. We've been 6 years in full-time ministry. God has opened more doors this year than ever before. I'm grateful for that, and that we're on the way and making progress every day. Amen. Hallelujah. Doing more now than we did 6 years ago and plan on doing more next week than we are today. Amen. How many of you agree that we should go on with God? We had a life-changing meeting. I shared some of the testimonies, and we'll be going back to Augusta in just a couple weeks. It was originally scheduled to be a week, and we ended up doing 21 services, and 1,587 people were saved. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Here in the United States, amen. Not on some foreign field somewhere. Augusta, Georgia. Praise God. And the stories were just dramatic. You couldn't describe it as anything else than a move of God's Spirit. I remember one day, I'd never seen anything like it. And I remember one day, I was walking down the street. We were just going to check on one of the teams that was working on the street. We had teams out every day winning souls on the street. And as well as people were getting saved in the night evangelistic services. And one day I'm going out with the youth pastor from the church, we're going to check on one of the teams, and we come across these two ladies on the square of Augusta, downtown James Brown Plaza. They're just walking across the plaza, and they stop us, and we had a camera. They said, "Hey, take our picture." And we said, "All right, we'll take your picture. Got to seize the opportunity." Amen. Went over there, the youth pastor, he takes a couple pictures, and I say, "Listen," I said, "can I ask you a question?" I said, "We're out here from Good News Church, and we're praying for people today. Can I pray with you about anything?" And without batting an eye, she said, "Yes, I need to be saved." Hallelujah. And her friend that was with her, I said, "How about you? I'm excited now, you know." I said, "How about you? What do you need?" So I'm like R.W. Schombach on the street now. "This is your day, ladies," I said. "You have met the right people." I said, "You know, God is moving here." They called on the name of Jesus. Both of them were gloriously saved, and they were in the service that night. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive.
Our God is mighty to save, isn't he?
Amen.
He's not just mighty to save in Africa. He's not just mighty to save in India. He's mighty to save in the Rust Belt, praise God. He's mighty to save in Erie, in Cleveland, in Youngstown, in Pittsburgh. He's mighty to save in New England and in the Northeast and in the Northwest. Our God is still the same God that he's always been, and the arm of the Lord is not short that he cannot save. If I had time, I'd just share those stories, and they're so wonderful, and maybe we'll share some more. God is alive. Our God is real, and he's able to help you, praise God. But what I want to talk about a little bit this morning is my plan to change the world. Amen? I'm determined to change the world. And I've got a plan. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn to the book of Acts and chapter 4. It's good to have a plan, isn't it? Book of Acts and chapter 4. We'll start in verse 29 reading in just a moment, Acts 4:29. But before we do, I'll give you some background of the story we're about to read. Many of us are familiar with it. This is directly following one of the great miracles of the book of Acts, and that was the miracle at the Gate Beautiful, where Peter and John are just on their way to church, just like you were this morning. They're on their way for the time of prayer. Pass a man on the side of the road begging for alms. And Peter says to the man, he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." Aren't you glad we have something to give to a hurt and suffering humanity? Thank God we've got something. There's something we can do. Say, "There's something I can do." Peter looked at this man's condition. He looked at what the enemy had wrought in his life. And Peter said, "I've got something that can turn this situation around. I've got something that can change this man's life." And he said, "And such as I have give I thee." Thank God we've got it. Amen. And he took the man by the hand and lifted him up, and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, But such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He lifted him up immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. And then several thousand people were saved. Now that's a miracle. Just as great as this man walking. I mean, Peter preached the gospel. He shared the word. He talked about Jesus. In combination with the word in this miracle, we see on the street several thousand people saved. I've just started to realize what a great miracle this is. Think about this. No advanced work. You know how much advanced work it takes, you know, in crusades like Billy Graham? Billy Graham, when he does a crusade in a city, there's somebody living in that city a year before they even start. This is Peter and John walking down the street on their way to church, and several thousand people get saved. Can God do it here?
Amen.
Let's not limit God. Let's realize how big of a God that we have. So anyways, this great miracle takes place. The man goes walking and leaping and praising God. There's a great stir, and they get in trouble with the officials, don't they? So then they bring him, and they're standing before the man. They're deciding, what are we going to do with these people that are stirring up all this trouble, Peter and John? What are we going to do with them? How are we going to control this situation? And let me read one verse. Verse 17, same chapter. Acts chapter 4, verse 17, it said, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." See, now the people are concerned with the message going any further. The powers that be were concerned that this message of Jesus was going to spread. And that was exactly what Peter and John and the apostles were determined to do, was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, I'm sure that the Master's voice was still freshly ringing in their ears. It wasn't that long ago that before he ascended on high, he gave them the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They knew they had a mission. They knew they had a job to do. They knew that they had something to accomplish. Did you know that that's still our mission today? That we still have the same commission, that the Master's given us the same commission, go into all the world. We have the same job to do here in Erie that they had to do as they went out from Jerusalem, as they went out throughout the world. They knew they had a job to do. And it's interesting that the powers that be, that the thing that they said, if they, you know, of all the things they could have commanded them, they said, let's command them not to speak anymore in that name. Did you know there's power in the name of Jesus?
Yeah.
There is no other name by which man can be saved. They said, let's not have this thing spread any further. Let's command them not to speak any further in the name. And this is the same spirit that we're dealing with today.
Yeah.
You know, there's only one name that people take in vain.
Yeah.
When you're on the job, did you ever hear anybody curse Buddha's name? No. I haven't. I've never heard anything like that. Isn't that right? There's one name. They said, command them not to speak in the name. You won't get any trouble if you talk about being spiritual. You won't get in any trouble if you talk about God and how great God is. You want to cause some ruckus, you start talking about the name. Because the power is in the name. The first message that I ever preached in a church was down in Cleveland on University Circle. It was in a Presbyterian church. Actually, we rented it for the night. It was a miracle that took place, and God had instructed me to do it, and we had this evangelistic service. And I was preaching, and it was on my campus. I was going to college, and I was just preaching the name of Jesus and preaching the gospel. My message was on a form of godliness, denying the power. First message that I ever preached. It was in a church. And there was a young Jewish girl there, a college student. She answered the invitation that night, and she was born again. She called on the name of Jesus. And she said that for some reason throughout that message, and she didn't know why, that every time I said the name, every time I said the name of Jesus, she just began to weep, and the Spirit of God would deal with her. Just because of the name. How many are glad you know the name that saves? Amen. The name of Jesus. So they command them, they say, don't speak anymore in this name. It's Jesus saves. Jesus. There's one way. You know, in Flint, Michigan today, there's speakers throughout the city that call Muslims five times a day to prayer on this, but you couldn't set up a nativity scene on Town Square.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Where's the resistance? This resistance that they faced is the same resistance that we face today. Did you know it?
Yes.
Now, if there's anybody that knew something about furthering the gospel and furthering the kingdom, it was these people. Because none of us would be here today if they didn't succeed in their mission. Did you know that? None of us would be standing here this morning. They faced the same obstacles we faced, but yet they triumphed over them. The gospel advanced, the kingdom advanced, and that's why every one of us is thankful to be saved today. Amen. Why all of us have had an opportunity to call on the name of Jesus, because they succeeded in the mission that God gave them. Well, did you know that there's generations to come that are depending on us? There's people that are walking the earth today that are depending on us, and we need to accomplish our mission. I think it'd be a good idea to look at what they did and see how they succeeded in their mission, facing the same resistance that we're facing today. How did they triumph? How did they overcome? Talking about my plan to save the world, to change the world. Amen. Many people will be saved in the process, but it's a plan to change the world. So Peter and John, after this command to preach no more in that precious name, to preach no more in the name of Jesus, they go back to their own company. But they went back to their own company and they prayed a prayer. Let's start in verse 23, reading the story. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elder had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Verse 29. And now, Lord, look on their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And then it says in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They pray a very short prayer here. It only lasts a few verses. Now, how many have heard of the Ephesians prayers? I remember Brother Hagin used to say the Ephesians prayers are perfect prayers because they're recorded in Scripture, and we can pray those prayers and look at those prayers, and I've prayed them for family members and for friends and for myself. And this prayer is no different. Did you know that this is a perfect prayer? And in the context of what we're talking about today, in the furtherance of the gospel, you see, this was the battle that they were facing, was the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you know, how many want to see the kingdom of God advance in your lifetime? Amen. And here, there was the chief elders and the priests, and they said, no, we're not going to let them preach in the name, lest this thing advance any further. But the apostles, they had a clear mission. They said, no, he said, go out into all the world. Our job is to make this sure this thing advances. And they pray this prayer. It's only a few verses long. Most of it is proclamation. It's not until verse 29 that they even begin to ask for anything. And they only ask for three things. Everybody say three things. They declare how great God is. They proclaim some things and talk about what God has done and the foundation He's laid. But it's not until verse 29 that they ask for anything. And they actually only ask for, in two verses, 29 and 30, one sentence. They ask God for something. Three things. And then God, in verse 31, obviously agrees with their prayer, condones it, and blesses it because there's an earthquake. How many know that would get my attention? I would take that as a sign of God's approval. How about you? God was excited about this prayer, and He was excited to answer it and get with them. I mean, He doesn't just answer it, but to show His enthusiasm about what they're praying, He sends an earthquake that shakes the very foundation of the place that they're staying in. This is God giving a thumbs up to what they were praying. Amen. And then He recorded this prayer. They went on for days. They prayed all the time. They're meeting with believers all the time. But did you know this one made the book? Everybody say this one made the book. So we could look at it. So we can see what they prayed. And they asked for three things, and I want to talk about those three things this morning. Again, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. We need boldness to speak the word of God. The word of God will change people's lives. The word of God has power. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I told the story about that Jewish girl on the campus when I was in college. I just shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the power of God was on that gospel, and she saw that Jesus was alive, and she called on the name of Jesus. When we were down in Augusta, just share the simple gospel with people. We'd ask them a question. And we'd ask them a simple question. If you died tonight or 100 years from now, do you know that you'd go to heaven? And then we'd tell them how they could know. And it was amazing just sharing the simple gospel, how they'd call on the name of Jesus and to see their very physical countenance change. I mean, you can see something was on the inside working on the outside. The word of God. They said, Father, grant us that with all boldness we may preach your word. They realized that if the kingdom was going to advance, if they were going to triumph in their generation, they were going to have to preach the word of God. Praise God. Everybody say, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. We need to tell people what the word of God says. There's power in the word. The Word of God is living. It's not just a textbook. It's not a history book. It is God-breathed. It is God-inspired. And it has the power to change our generation. It has the power to change our cities. It has the power to change lives. Amen. The first thing they say is, Father, grant us with all boldness. They knew if this thing was going to go forward, if they were going to accomplish the mission, they were going to have to preach the Word with boldness. And then number two, they say, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Everybody say, Jesus is the healer.
Jesus is the healer.
They said, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Thank God he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I've thought myself, you know, we pray for the sick every service. Almost every service that we have, whenever we have an opportunity. We make time to pray for the sick, to minister the hurting and the suffering. And even my own mind, you know, has tried to tell me at times, why do you put such an emphasis on praying for the sick? But I need to look no further than Jesus Christ to know why I put such an emphasis on praying for the sick. Acts 10:38 says, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Everybody say all. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed the sick. And not only did he heal the sick everywhere he went, but everybody he sent out, he sent to heal the sick. When he sent out the 12, part of his command, he said, whatever city you enter, heal the sick therein. When he sent out the 70, he gave them the same commission. He said, heal the sick. In Mark 16, when he sent out the church, he said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. They asked for three things. They said, there's three things we want you to do. They didn't pray an hour. They didn't pray 15 minutes. They asked one sentence of request from God. Do you think we ought to pay attention to the three things that they asked for? They said, Father, grant us with all boldness that we may speak thy word. They said, stretch forth thine hand to heal. Healing is part of the Christian life. Jesus is a healer today, the same as he's always been. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everybody say today.
Today.
If he's ever been a healer, he's a healer today. If he's ever been a miracle worker, he's a miracle worker today. I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful that I heard that Jesus is still a healer. How about you?
Amen.
My brother, I've shared his story here. God miraculously saved his life in Iraq. He served in the Marines and did 2 7-month deployments in Iraq and was in combat. And literally, bullets and rockets changed directions as God protected him, as God's hedge of protection was around my brother. Not only did God protect him, but because of the miracles that God wrought in his life, there was a Muslim that was an interpreter that worked with his Marine detachment. And he comes to my brother and he says, I've never seen it. He says, I pray the Quran every day. I've never seen anything like I've seen in your life. My brother said, well, I pray Psalms 91 every day. Jesus is alive. Jesus is the Savior. And in tears, he led this young Muslim to the Lord. He called on the name of Jesus. And he was gloriously saved right there in Iraq. Amen. Well, long before this happened, after I was born, the doctors told my mom, they said, you won't have another child. They diagnosed her with polycystic ovaries. They said, it's impossible for you to have another child. But thank God they heard that Jesus was still a miracle worker. Nothing was too hard for him. They began to believe God in 7 years. I don't know when they started to believe God, but I do know this. 7 years after I was born, my brother was born. Amen.
Amen.
And my family called him the miracle baby. Not long ago, my grandmother had been diagnosed with cancer. She had a lump on the side of her knee. And Jocelyn and I were already married and already traveling. And she said, called us over. She said, come to my apartment. We prayed for her. It was type B lymphoma. I'm not sure. You know, it was cancer. Bad. And they died. You know, they already had run the biopsies. And it was not good. And she said, come and pray. And we prayed for her. Commanded in the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus is the healer. He said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. I thank God when I pray that Jesus is there to do what he's always done. To help people as he's always helped people. To destroy the devil's works as he's always destroyed the devil's works. Prayed for her in the name of Jesus. She went back to the doctor. They did another test, not to see if she had cancer or not, but to determine what their next course of action would be. They took another test. They said there's been some kind of mistake. There was no mistake. It wasn't what was done wrong. It was what was done right. Between meeting one and meeting two, we called on the name of Jesus. Amen. No mistake at all. The only mistake would have been if we didn't call on the name of Jesus. They said there's been some kind of mistake. You're fine. All the tests came back well. Somebody say Jesus is a healer. They asked for three things. They said that we may speak thy word with boldness. And they said, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. There's companies with mission statements that are 10 times as long as this. This is a pretty simple plan, isn't it? They said, preach the word and stretch forth thine hand to heal. This was what Jesus taught them. This is what he mentored them to do. This is what he did for 3 years as he walked the shores of Galilee. And this is what he sent them to do. And this is the commission for us to do. This is how we will turn around the world in our generation, by following these three simple steps.
Amen.
By stretching forth thine hand to heal. Thank God he's the healer. He sees us in our suffering and in our pain, and he cares. I can't think of a better natural illustration of God's love than healing. We see Jesus come up on a woman who has bent over, the Bible says, for 18 years with a spirit of infirmity. Well, that wasn't God's spirit tormenting her. Jesus came up to her, and it was on the Sabbath day, and he said, ought not this woman, ought not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has oppressed, she ought to be healed, is what Jesus said. And in an instant, basically what Jesus said was 18 years was long enough. Amen. And in an instant, that which the enemy had wrought, that work was destroyed, and she was made straight, and she was standing whole in the presence of all those people. Is this not an illustration of what God does to a man or a woman's spirit? Bound by the devil, broken down. And then Jesus comes through the glorious light of his gospel, and somebody says, Jesus, save me. And old things pass away and all things become new. And all of a sudden now a person is able to stand up, hallelujah, and say, I'm a child of God. And all the old work that the enemy tried to work in their life is broken off in an instant. Is healing not the perfect illustration of God's plan for a man or woman's life?
Amen.
I'll share a couple more testimonies. There was a young girl prayed for in Elyria, Ohio. If you get on 90 and just keep heading west. If you hit Toledo, you've gone too far. In Elyria, Ohio, we've done several meetings there. Charles Finney preached in Elyria, Ohio. Totally unrelated piece of information there. Amen. We were preaching in Elyria, Ohio. Amen. Thank you. We were preaching in Elyria, Ohio. A sister came forward who had had asthma since she was a little girl. She was in her 30s, laid hands on her. Instantly, her lungs opened up. She began to breathe. I came back to the church a couple months later. She hands me a check, and I said, well, praise God, but what's this for? She said, here. She said, this is what I would have spent on my asthma medication this month. So I'm healed. Amen.
Amen.
Totally whole. Praise God. I think she's glad that somebody told her that Jesus was the healer. And then in another service, she had on the back of her hand what's called a ganglion cyst. I only heard of it from her. And it was a non-cancerous growth that the doctor said would continue to grow and would have to be removed surgically. We just commanded in the name of Jesus in a service. Jocelyn and I prayed for. Did you know that the Bible says, whosoever should say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but believe that those things which they say it shall come to pass, they'll have whatsoever they sayeth. Well, thank God if a mountain could move, I believe any tumor could move. We commanded in Jesus' name. Didn't look any different in the service, but she took a stand on the Word of God, going back to the first point, preach the Word, amen. And then we left a few days, left the meeting, and we just thank God that it was done. On a Tuesday morning, I'm preaching in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. I get a phone call from her pastor. He says, I've got a testimony for you. She called me this morning. She woke up this morning and the cyst was gone, totally gone. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus is the healer. Amen.
Amen.
I shared this story from Russia. We were in Russia and we just had an invitation, Jocelyn and I, in Vladimir, Russia. And said, is there anybody here tonight, you know, has shoulder trouble? Just a real general call, and about five or six people came forward. Well, there was a woman there who had had a large part of her pectoral muscle removed due to cancer surgery, and it was impossible for her to lift her arm above her shoulder. I'm not talking that it was difficult. I'm not talking that there was pain. I mean, she did not have the physical equipment to lift her arm above her shoulder. Are you following me? And we prayed for her in Jesus' name, and instantly, full range of movement is restored. And she's moving that arm like this, what the doctor said she'd never do again.
Yay.
Now, either God recreated that pectoral muscle or enabled her to do it without it, but either way, God's a big God and He's able. Amen. Say, there's nothing too hard for Him. We need to reacquaint ourselves every day with the concept of God and see the separation of that from religion and tradition and the creeds of men. You realize, David, we preached a lot on Goliath this weekend. He stood before Goliath and he said, I'm going to take down Goliath that the world may know that there is a God in Israel. We need to remember, the world needs to know that there is a God in Christianity.
Amen.
This isn't something dreamt up from the imaginations of men. This is the very message of God. One more point, the third point, and then we'll minister to some folks and close for this morning. Everybody say three things.
Three things.
First, he says, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Say, I'm speaking the word.
I'm speaking the word.
Every day.
Every day.
I'm telling my family.
I'm telling my family.
I'm telling my friends.
I'm telling my friends.
I'm telling people in my workplace.
I'm telling people in my
work. I'm speaking the word. Amen. And then by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Did you know the Bible said believers will lay hands on the sick? Not just the evangelist, the apostle, the prophet. It said believers. How many believers do we have? Lay hands on the sick. Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me, the works that I do, would they do also. John 14:12. How many of you believe in Jesus? Then you're called to be a doer of the works. Now number three. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Everybody say signs and wonders. Did you know that God's not a hide-and-seek God, but He's a show-and-tell God? Signs and wonders. They said, if this thing is going to go forward, we're going to need signs and wonders. If the gospel is going to advance in our generation, we're going to need signs and wonders. How many know that God's not hiding out in the shadows, but He's showing Himself mightily today? Amen.
Amen.
This is God's plan for the United States. This is God's plan for the Western Europe. This is God's plan for the British Isles. His plan is for signs and wonders to accompany the Word everywhere it's preached. Mark 16 says they went out and preached everywhere, God working with them, affirming the Word with the signs that accompany it. Did you know there's signs that accompany the Word? They cannot be removed. They cannot be taken away. It is like a husband and wife. When you have the Word, you have the signs that accompany it. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't it interesting that they were very careful to separate two separate categories, and there's only three. They said that we preach the word boldly, that you stretch forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders. Now let me tell you this, not every healing is a sign and wonder, and not every sign and wonder is a healing. We don't just need people to be healed. We need visible demonstrations of the power of God that they can see. Let me explain this. If we pray for somebody this morning, or like that girl I shared the testimony with, the ganglion cyst, cursed it in the name of Jesus. She went home and she was gloriously healed. But at that moment, that didn't qualify as a sign and a wonder. Are you following me? Nobody saw anything. There was nothing to wonder about, right? There was no sign and wonder. They said, Lord, stretch forth thine hand to heal, but also we want signs and wonders. How many want signs and wonders?
Amen.
I've seen it work, folks. Seen it work here in this country. We were praying for, we were doing a service in North Kingsville. Anybody know North Kingsville? Just outside of Conneaut. Anybody from North Kingsville? That's pretty close. It is. Nope. But yeah, North Kingsville, just a couple minutes down 90 here. Doing a service, and Vinny did not preach that I know of in North Kingsville. Useless tidbits of information, you know. But praise God. So we're doing a service in North Kingsville. This is not even an evangelistic service. This was a specific service at a church. It was a conference, actually. And we were doing a seminar on doing the works of Jesus, on praying for the sick. And just after the first service, just as a demonstration, I just said, well, we're going to pray for some, why don't we pray for some folks tonight? And one woman came forward, and honestly, I don't even remember what she was suffering from. I believe it was fibromyalgia. And she was racked with pain, and she was suffering from pain. And Jocelyn and I, we laid hands on her and commanded in the name of Jesus. How many is grateful that the name of Jesus is greater than fibromyalgia?
Amen.
Prayed for her in the name of Jesus. Instantly, the pain left, and she's, you know, everything, all her symptoms left. She went to work the next day, left that service that night, the next day went to work. I said, this is a, you know, similar to like your Wednesday night service. It's a teaching service. This is not a campaign. This is not a crusade. This is just, we're just teaching some folks about praying for the sick. Well, the next day, the next night, we're doing the services again, and there's a person there that we'd never seen before. You know, she's new. She wasn't there in any of the other sessions. And some people start welcoming her, striking up a conversation with her. And I forget, somebody asked her, where does she go to church? And she says, well, I'm still searching for my spirituality, she said. So here's a thoroughly unsaved person that all of a sudden shows up in the How to Pray for the Sick and Do the Works of Jesus seminar. Right? So at the end, somebody tips me off to this information. I do the session, and then we give an invitation, you know, in the How to Do the Works of Jesus seminar. She raises her hand, calls on the name of Jesus, and is gloriously saved. And then we get to hear the rest of the story. Well, this lady that we prayed for the first day, who was racked with all this pain, went back to work. And her friend saw, everybody say saw. Saw that there was a difference in her life. Saw that she could do things she couldn't do before. She said, what happened to you? She says, I was prayed for in a session. She says, I've got to go there. This woman was in her 40s. She had lived her whole life as a professed atheist. One sign and wonder, she called on the name of Jesus and was gloriously saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She saw what God can do. Young boy prayed in Augusta, Georgia. There was a man on the street when they were witnessing to him. He's walking down the street, and they ask him, if you died tonight or 100 years from now, would you go to heaven? And he gave some, you know, different answer, and then they started to share with him about Jesus. This is what you need to know. This is how you know. Oh, Jesus, I don't believe in Jesus. And then this man thought quickly, and he said, do you have any pain in your body? He says, I've got pain all over. And they said, would you allow us to pray for you? He said, I'll try anything kind of attitude, you know. They prayed for him. The pain instantly left his body in the name of Jesus. But the boy who actually prayed for him was an 8-year-old named Dylan. Laid his hands on him, prayed for him in the name of Jesus. Say, I can do it.
I can do it.
Instantly the pain left his body. They said, do you believe in Jesus now? He said, yes, I believe in Jesus. Called on the name of Jesus and he was saved. That's scriptural, folks. Jesus said, study it out. Jesus said on several occasions throughout the Gospels, you will not believe unless you see signs and wonders. And yet, at the same time, he doesn't withhold it from people. You know that God's plan for Thomas's life didn't stop? He said, I won't believe unless I stick my fingers in the hole and stick my side in his hand. You know, if God was the God that some people preach, that would have been it for Thomas right there. He would have been damned to hell. God's plan for his life would have stopped. That would have been it. Jesus said, all right, I'll meet you where you're at. Go ahead and touch. Go ahead and feel. Did you know that that's what God's saying to our generation? Go ahead and look. I'm still the God who sends fire from heaven, causes the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk. Hallelujah. And this is the answer for the Western world, folks. We're facing the same things that they faced. preach no more in this name. Let's command them not to preach in this name, lest this thing spread any further. I'm sure there's conversations that have gone on in our lifetime that probably didn't differ very much from those very words. Let's not let them do this so this thing doesn't spread. Let's not let them preach in this name. Go ahead, you can pray at the inauguration, but you can't say the name. Are you hearing me this morning? He said three things. What were they? Preach thy word boldly. Stretch forth thine hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done at the name of thy holy child Jesus. Thank God that signs and wonders aren't limited to what God could do to the human body. That Jesus walked on water. He multiplied the fish and the loaves. He calmed the storm. One time when I was in college, I'm driving from Cleveland, from University Circle. We're driving down to an all-you-can-eat Truck America truck stop in Lodi, in Lodi, Ohio, because they had all-you-can-eat steak and eggs. So it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. We're driving down there on a school night, you know. 9 o'clock class the next morning. It's different when you're 20, isn't it? And a storm kicks up, you know. It's like 2, 3 in the morning. We didn't get home till 4, probably. It was always like that. So, you know, this storm kicks up, a hailstorm. And visibility is like nil. I mean, it's just like there's cars on the side of the road already. And there's three of us in the front seat, two of my Christian brother friends. One of them was a Nazarene, and the brother driving was a Roman Catholic. And we're driving along, and my friend's name was Jeff. I said, Jeff, are you going to pull over? He says, yeah, I'm about to. And then something rose up inside of me, and the words came out of my mouth almost before I knew what I was saying. And I said, where's my faith? And I said, peace be still in Jesus' name. I mean, shouted it just like that. And it looked like... So the hailstorm was so thick, if you could imagine if somebody was holding a sheet and everything was just suspended for a second. I mean, just like a nanosecond, you know. It just kind of froze and hovered in the air, and then it was just as if somebody dropped a sheet. It was crystal clear. The hail that was in the air fell, and as far as you could see, it was crystal clear. I mean, it didn't let up. It didn't slow down. It wasn't like, oh, now I think we could drive. It was like, bam, and it's a crystal clear night. How many know that our God is still a miracle worker? Now, I've heard greater stories than that, but I cannot but speak of the things which I've seen and heard. Amen. And I want you to know that I think there's two reasons that they separated healing and signs and wonders. One was not every healing is a sign and wonder, but also two, not every sign and wonder is a healing. I believe in our generation, God wants to send down fire on altars. How about you? There are storms that need to be calmed. Don't rule walking on water out of your mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's radical. Well, the Bible's a radical book. Did you know that? And the further we get away from it, the less radical we get. Amen. But the problem is not the lack of radicalness. The problem is the lack of results. And what the apostles realized is they needed results. And there was three things. And they said, we need these three things if the gospel is going to advance in our generation. We need the word to be preached. We need there to be healing. And we need signs and wonders. Let's pray together today. Can we all stand on our feet if you can?